Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. You can follow the show on Facebook or Twitter, @MultiformPod. And our individual Twitter handles are at the end of the show. This is episode 239. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by the whole crew, Gus Harden.
Hello.
And Spencer Rain.
Hello.
I got to throw this out there right at the start. Spencer, you have now also joined the mechanical keyboard crew. Let's get a little clickety-clack action.
I did last week here.
Oh, I already... Did we cover
about
it
last week? Yeah, because it...
Ah, that's satisfying. Yeah, you're right. We talked about the how you got connected with that brand.
Just buy a typewriter.
I am. Set up. They have a cool keycap set for Captain America.
Yeah, and Spider-Man.
Typewriter.
Just a fucking typewriter. Just clack, click, click, clack, click, click.
I mean, that's a lot more resistance than what Spencer Oh, man. Man, we need that sound simulated digitally. You need to be able to do digital typewriter where it requires you to, like...
The return key.
Yeah, or, like, maybe you have to hit enter plus backspace to have it return to actually go to, like... I mean, that is what the return key does, but to simulate it, you almost need some sort of, like, sliding mechanism on top of the keyboard.
Yeah, Microsoft Word should input that in there.
How do you guys feel about that whole, like, bringing AI into Word and PowerPoint to where you can have it now write documents for you in the very
You guys
future?
Remember the little paperclip helper?
Oh, yeah, Clippy. Clippy's OG. He's GOAT.
Showing our age there with that
speaking
one.
Speaking of...
He got brought back recently as, like, a player in, like, a game or something.
Fortnite skin?
I mean, that would that really surprise
you? Shocking. Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at one bit.
I would just want to know, like,
what is this?
What part of his metal slinky form would be holding the gun? That's what I want to know. Is, like, are they going to attach appendages to him, or will the gun just float next to his little metal uncoiled, like, soul?
It is
now we're getting deep in the Clippy lore. Although, did Clippy have hands that, like, floated, or was it just a thought bubble?
Like gloves?
Yeah. He had very creepy large eyes.
Like Rayman. You know how Rayman has his floating appendages that make no sense?
Vaguely.
Like the disembodying man or whatever from Suicide Squad?
Disembodied? Oh, yeah. Nathan Fillion.
Detach his arms from his body.
Wait, it was Nathan Fillion, right?
I don't know. Was it?
I think his name is the Detachable Arm Kid.
That's right.
Or the Detachable... Or D something K. It's not... Is it A? I don't remember. But yeah, Nathan Fillion's cameo in Suicide Squad 2. Hope I didn't spoil that for anybody.
It's not even Suicide Squad 2. It's literally just Suicide Squad.
The
reboot.
Suicide Squad. Yeah. That's true. Well, it does pick up
a reboot less than 5 years later.
It's like a soft reboot. There's been a lot of those in the DC universe. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Anyway, okay, so what we've been playing this week. Gus and I have one game we played together, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Why don't we start with Spencer, since his is the... Actually, yeah, yours is the most the least interesting this week. Man,
correct,
another week I'm
is.
Just stumbling through my words here.
It is the least interesting. I did play Hogwarts, I think, at the beginning of the week. I think I...
Hogwarts.
I'm 9 hours of playtime in this, and I think I'm finally at the part where I can get my beast companion. I don't know if it's like the one that I ride or whatever or what that is. Obviously, I haven't played it yet.
Do you already have your owl?
No, I don't have the owl yet.
When do you get one of those?
I don't know if you get one, because they do like the owl post, which is like how you get new missions. Is like you'll get like letters
That's
from
the
owl.
That's stupid that you don't
saying,
have your own owl. That's very lackluster of them to not put in.
Well, I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't beaten it, so I can't tell you definitively if you get one.
I think that you would have gotten one by now.
Maybe. I didn't get a broom until like I was 8 hours into the game.
Well, that makes sense.
I guess. Does it?
Everyone was like, I need an owl. Otherwise, how am I going to get mail?
Gus, Harry Potter lore master here.
That's right. I've read every single book.
Interesting.
I didn't even know you could read.
That's right. Yeah. I surprise everyone on a daily basis.
Man, I think the last two or three books I read were digital, which felt weird. I read I read Moneyball digitally. That was the last digital book I read, and then I switched back to physical.
You like the movie? He's like, I should read the book.
Well, Moneyball.
My good friend Bobby Kotick.
So I was on a kick of like those real world stories. So Catch Me If You Can.
I can see Tim being a sabermetrics kind of guy.
I read Catch Me If You Can, the book that 21 is based off of, and Moneyball, and those three books that were all adapted to movies.
Another great Kevin Spacey.
I thought Catch Me
production.
If You Can had its own movie, and it wasn't 21.
No, those are three separate books and movies. The movie 21, the movie Catch Me If You Can, and the movie that we were just talking about. And I read the books.
Isn't Catch Me If You Can the magic trick one?
No,
that's
Now
You
See
Me.
Ah,
which I maintain Now You See Me 1 is a fun action movie. The second one is pretty crap. A heavy use of CGI. The magic is no longer even slightly believable. I don't even know how I got here. Oh, Spencer was talking about warts.
Wart. Yeah. Really, the only other thing that I did play a lot of this week was Crusader Kings on the PC.
Yeah, and you took you're using my old laptop to play that, and you upgraded it.
Yeah, as we discussed last week, I have Tim's old pile of parts. I added a solid state drive to it. Well, there was already one.
A second
in it,
one, yeah.
So I supplemented the existing one for more storage space. All by myself. Didn't need any help. It also wasn't that difficult.
You did have to Google one or two things.
Well, I basically, the thing is, I had to Google, I Googled a video that ended up being from the maker of the solid state drive that ended up not needing to watch. And then I looked on another website to figure out how to format the drive appropriately. I've got a C and a D drive.
I thought D was like the recovery drive by default, and your first secondary drive was E. But well, who knows?
I guess that thing is, there's no recovery drive on this Mac or on this laptop.
Yeah, or maybe it's maybe it's on the same drive letter nowadays. I don't know.
Dated. I did. I played some of that. I bought the expansion pass. I don't know why. Because I don't care about. I don't know. The Royal Court expansion is pretty cool. Just because you have a throne room now. It's for the role playing aspect of the game, I guess. It's kind of neat, I suppose. But yeah, the other expansion.
Did you get it? Was it on sale because of the Steam sale?
No, I didn't get it on Steam. I got it on Xbox.
Interesting. Oh yeah, because you don't own the game. You're playing
on
Game Pass.
I own it on console, but not PC. So
the Steam sale is going on right now, and a ton of stuff is on sale. Like I was noticing Cities Skylines DLC is all at least 50% off.
Let me pull that up here and I'll have that.
And my whole wish list is on sale, which makes me, and a bunch of it's like $5. And I'm like, man, I could stack up 10 things and only pay like $50
and never play it.
I know. Some of it's small though.
I did also play Company of Heroes 2. I don't think I mentioned that. The game is, the best part about that game, and I'll keep it short, is actually having a PC that can run it at like high settings. So it's actually like really nice to look at.
Because it's older, so you can play it at full settings.
Yeah, it's from 2014, so I can play it at basically max settings, which is cool. Victoria 3, 20% off. Not going to do that though. Nothing too interesting for me, I suppose. I just Crusader Kings, some Hogwarts and some Company of Heroes. So, yeah.
So when The Division 2 came out, Gus and I had intended to play it together, and it just got away from us. I think I moved on to another game, which was my fault, and then we never really synced up our schedules. It was mostly my fault. I'm going to take responsibility. But for some reason, Gus got back into it a few weeks ago. He's talked about that on the podcast. And then when the Steam sale, or not Steam sale, the spring sale on Xbox happened, I was like, hey, Gus, the Warlords of New York expansion for Division 2 is on sale for $9. Why don't we grab that? And so both of us did, and we started playing that together. And so that was what we played this week. And as an aside, we played, I don't know, we did some random bounties and stuff.
We did a little over an hour worth of play. On Thursday night.
And then we ended it by finding the Continental from John Wick in the world, because they basically street to street, one to one, recreated Lower Manhattan. So the buildings aren't all exactly the design of the ones in real, the real yeah. world. Which, did you guys know that you can like copyright the design of a building? Obviously, a lot of popular buildings have done that. And that's why in games like Marvel Spider-Man that take place in New York, some of the buildings aren't in the game. Like some are that are, like, and some aren't.
By certain things.
Yeah, they just have to replace them with a generic building because those buildings have actual like copyrights on their appearance, which is weird because, I mean, lots of people take pictures in New York and they can't like monetize every picture everyone has ever taken.
You
want
to know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Spider-Man 3 on 360. And for whatever reason, there were certain places, if you knew where to go, you could go back into rooms and buildings. Like you could go into Harry Osborn's like house, which is like part of like a mission, I think, where you like fight him. And I remember if you knew exactly where to go, you could always go back in. And I don't know why I would just be like, I like spent like an afternoon like trying to find those places once, like way back when I was in like high school. Anyway.
So Gus, anything you want to throw out about the divisions in New York Warlords, Division of New York, the Division 2 Warlords of New York? I think the thing I would say is we didn't really get too far into it, and it's obviously several years old at this point, so most of the audience, if they care, has already played it. But
No, I mean, it's I've played a little bit more without you, no offense. Feel free to play a little bit on your own. But I have I played not a whole lot. I played a little bit like today, and it was like maybe for like 30 minutes. I think I did like one mission. And it is it's interesting that you can't leave the DLC until it's completed.
That is a good thing to bring up. It is
I'm
weird.
Wondering, it's like, can you go back after?
You can, yeah. Okay. It just like it gave a pop up when you and I joined the New York world, and it's like, hey, you're stuck here until you finish the campaign.
Yeah, which is kind of frustrating. Especially it's like when we were planning on playing it together, and then it's like, well, if we can't play together, I'd like to be able to go back to DC and screw around for a bit,
yeah.
And then when you're ready, go back and play with you again.
Which honestly is probably a reason that we both should just play the story and get it over with, so that when we play again together, we can just do all the raid,
screw around in New York,
all the other cool stuff that's in there that's better for co-op.
Yeah,
because so,
I would like to level up. I think I'm level 32 right now.
I might play it after we get done recording tonight, so that I can try and finish the story, so that we can do some of the co-op stuff together.
Finish if you're gonna finish, and you finish the one we were working on, the Dragov one,
the first
one that I was working on. Yeah,
yeah. And then the other thing, and you gave me a heads up because I always tell you what's your timer that I always give you to talk about.
I thought it was like 5 minutes.
There's no way you're getting 5 minutes, but you're back into World of Warships Legends.
Talk about World of Warships Legends. I have gotten the bug once more for boats, and so I've been sailing recently on that game.
You know what's interesting?
Don't know why I got back into it. And man, it's like the problem is, it's like I have games I could be playing. Like I have Far Cry 6 that I could play, and I actually did play that.
We're gonna talk about it in the news. Oh no, we're gonna talk about
like a couple missions this week actually, because I felt bad because I spent money on it. I haven't really beaten it.
I love Far Cry 6. Far Cry 6 might be my favorite Far Cry game overall.
Yeah, it's it's fun. I don't know. I was never really able to like really dive deep into it. Yeah. And now that I've been sucked more into Division and World of Warships, I've been playing those. But I do have Far Cry 6 on my list of
what percentage of the audience just yawned with you?
I have no idea.
Because you can trigger a yawn audibly without actually seeing it, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I just did. I am tired. I did wake up at like 6 this morning because my cat would not let me sleep. Because I've been waking up earlier. I've been waking up at 3:40, like 3:45 for work recently. Like, well, I say recently, the last month and a half.
That's insane. That's why we stopped playing after an hour and 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
you're
like,
I
have to be in bed by 9, otherwise I'm going to feel terrible. So
that's insane.
I'm getting up early, and then it doesn't help on the weekends because I have a cat and my girlfriend has a cat, and they're both kind of menaces in the morning. Like mine is because he expects that I'm going to be feeding him at like 4, like I normally would. And so when it's like 5:30 or 6 on the weekend, he's like, why am I not being fed yet? I'm like, it's because I'm sleeping in, dude. And then her cat is also like, just like wants attention. So
you need to get a timed automated, like phone controlled feeder for the cat.
I probably do. But even then, it's like afterwards, he'll still like he still like wants to like play a little bit. So he'll like scratch like the side of my bed.
Just and wake put him in up. The tub and turn on the shower. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, then I just wouldn't be able to sleep at all.
Yeah, because he.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why I'm tired. Anyway,
I just want to throw out. So I listen to a fair amount of podcasts, but and some gaming podcasts, although I mostly listen to non-Xbox podcasts. Actually, I don't listen to any Xbox podcasts now that I think about it. Years ago, I used to listen to a few, but the cast changed over on several of them and the quality degraded. And honestly, I don't even know who makes a good Xbox podcast these days of like a high production value, like high access to games.
We're the premier Xbox podcast, and people just don't know it.
We're like three normal guys making a podcast, whereas I'm talking like high production value, high access to games, you know, the kind of people that get preview coverage or, you know, a lot of other stuff. But my point is, I feel like we talk about games that no other generalized gaming podcast talk about for the most part. Like, there are World of Warships podcasts, but I doubt other Xbox podcasts are talking about Crusader Kings 3, World of Warships Legends, and one of the games I'm going to talk about, and then Division 2, all in the same breath. Because I feel like most podcasts are always just chasing whatever the newest release is, which I feel like some people, maybe if they make their living podcasting, they feel the need to be current, in air quotes. But since we are an electrician, a marketer, and a lawyer that make our living elsewhere, we just talk about whatever the heck we want to.
And if anybody's talking about World of Warships, they definitely aren't talking about World of Warships Legends on Xbox. They're talking
about the PC version.
So, yeah, I don't know. The thing is, like, I feel like a lot of people play those like anime and like the Japanese type games like more than like we do.
Well, that's like, for sure.
We don't play games like that. And then like, but I feel like most not entirely podcasts, true. Like, well, like people play like games and do podcasts like play those kind of games.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right, because I do listen to other podcasts that play a lot more JRPGs and stuff that we don't. But I mean, I don't know. We have a mix. Like, I play way more indie games than you guys do.
Yeah.
Spencer plays way more like historical stuff than probably your average person. Gus, you kind of are all over the place. You're kind of hard to pin down.
I'm whatever strikes my fancy, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Sometimes, like, I randomly was playing Mini Metro tonight, which is a very satisfying game to play. It's on phones or Steam. It's not on console, I don't think. And I was like, I think Gus would like this, but I actually have no idea. I think you would. I don't know if you actually would, because you're so all over the place. You should check it out. I sent you a link. I think it's only $5 on Steam if you want to just buy the PC version. But the phone version is also like $5. It's a cool like strategy phone game. Anyway, back to what I was playing. Division 2, talked about that. I played a little bit of Into the Breach. So Into the Breach is a PC game, but it's also available on phones if you have a Netflix subscription. So I actually realized I had played it on my phone in the past, but I realized that I guess I had claimed a copy of it for the Epic Game Store back in the day and just never played it. So I was looking through my Steam library and my Epic Games library to see what do I own that I've forgotten that I own, either from getting in like a Humble Bundle or getting it for free as a part of a promo, and just installing some like random games that I own that I've never tried. That all aside, the main game that I tried this week that is of interest is Spencer. We talk about this all the time. How do you say this franchise name? Is it Anno or Anno? It's Anno. Okay. It's the Ubisoft strategy, real-time strategy franchise. I had never heard of this franchise until a few years ago, and it's been going strong for like 20-plus years. And so the newest one, Anno 1800, is obviously set in the 1800s, and it goes through the Industrial Revolution, and it's kind of like a competitor to Age of Empires, only instead of like way back when Age of Empires is set, it's like this one set in the 1800s. There's another one that's set in the 2020s, or I'm sorry, the 2200s, not the 2020s. There's another one set a few years from now after the climate change has affected the world. And then there's a couple more that are like the 1400s and a couple other. So the reason it's in the news is it came out on console this last week, and they did a free-to-play weekend. So it was available Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday this last weekend. So I downloaded that. I checked it out. I played an hour or two. I unlocked one achievement, which would already frustrate Spencer if he was playing, because I uninstalled it after getting one achievement. And I was like, well, if I do continue playing this, I'm going to play it on PC since it's a strategy game. And I feel like mouse and keyboard would be better. Console controls was fine on console. I really liked it. The visuals are cool for like how it renders the Industrial Revolution. The frustrating thing was the guidance, the UI was not great, to where when it wanted you to do something, it was not clear on how to do it. And if you've never played that franchise before and it's not telling you very clearly, it can be frustrating. And I wonder if that's just something that was lost in the adaptation from PC to console. But it's on sale on Steam right now for like dirt cheap. I think it's like $10 or something. So I may pick it up and play it, although I really don't have time. I was just talking to Spencer and Gus over chat this week about how I'm buying a lot less games that I would have impulse bought in the past, because I'm trying to hone in on the games I really want to play instead of trying a little bit of everything. At least when it comes to my wallet, if it's free, I'm still trying a lot of things with Game Pass or free weekends. But in the past, I would have just bought a bunch of stuff. And we all know what it's like to buy games that you just sit in your library and you never end up playing. So that's it for all of us. We all played a bunch of older games except for Anno 1800, which even that is a little bit older. So let's get into the news. This week, I didn't put them in any particular order. For the most part, they're in the order that they occurred this week, although I did move a few things around just because I did want the least interesting things at the end of the show. The first thing is something that I tweeted out about a week ago that it was coming up because I was excited for it, which is Ghostwire Tokyo is coming to Xbox. So just like Deathloop, after the 1 year of exclusivity with PlayStation expires, they announce it's coming to Xbox, and a new expansion slash update for it is coming to both consoles. I think, Spencer, you're probably going to know this best. I think this is the last release of the pre-acquisition Bethesda. So like this game coming to Sounds Xbox right. is the final thing that was in the can or coming through the pipeline when they bought Bethesda that is now complete. Like they delivered, what's the game? The strategy title.
Deadloop.
I want to say Westworld 3, but the strategy game. Wasteland. Why did I say Westworld? Wasteland 3.
Oh man.
The Outer Worlds, Psychonauts 2, like all these games had agreements before they were acquired. Now those games are all out. I just have to stop to say, Gus is sitting in a pitch black room and the only lighting is his screen of his computer. So every time he clicks on something, it goes black for a second and I'm getting like a strobing effect. And it's like, Gus is going to give me epilepsy right now with his.
Well, I'm looking at old podcast episodes real fast, and because I was wondering when I was playing Division 2, and I said something in the chat that I was playing it in episode 36.
And this he did the homework.
This is episode 239 that we're on, so 200 episodes later, I'm playing a game that I was playing then.
And was 36 the first episode
that you played? It might have been, if it wasn't like a couple episodes before, but it was killing me, because anytime somebody would miss the podcast, somebody would have some slick comment to say, like in the what we were playing this week section, like about like why they were missing.
Oh yeah. So it, at the top of our show notes, we have a place where we jot notes about what we've been playing, and when somebody misses, they usually don't go into the document, so we all sarcastically put things in there for them as to why they were not present. Which are
I'm now seeing the one where I where my original Xbox Series or my Xbox One X bit the dust. It was episode 82. That was when my GPU or whatever like melted down, and I had to buy a whole new Xbox. Yeah, I don't know if anybody
digital archaeology.
But I had to go all the way. I went to the Microsoft store, and they're like, "Yeah, this is screwed." So, and I was
That's
like,
funny.
"Well, next Xbox time."
Back when there were Microsoft stores, there's only three That's left, right. and they're now experienced stores, Australia, UK, and New York. Okay, so Ghostwire Tokyo, it's coming to Xbox April 12th. It will be in Game Pass, and the new update is called the Spider's Thread Update, adding multitude of enhancements to single-player hit. Wow, I'm trying to read their comment here, and I took it out of context, and it doesn't make any sense. Adding a multitude of enhancements to single-player hit. I think it means to the single player hit. Okay, I'm the one misspeaking. Including additional areas to explore, new story cutscenes, quality of life improvements, a bonus game mode, and more. So the Spider's Thread game mode seems like a horde slash wave defense or wave attack mode that's new to it. So same as Deathloop, they're bringing just an enhanced version to Xbox. It gives them a reason to update the PlayStation version as well. I'm sure they get an additional bump in sales. So are either of you interested in Ghostwire Tokyo? This game always, I heard about it on a couple of podcasts and it made me really interested. I just want to buy it when I know it's coming to Game Pass and I can get achievements. So I didn't buy it on PS5 or PC. I just held out.
I'm interested because I don't know anything about it. So I'm going to look into it. And then inevitably...
The combat's really interesting. Probably it uses like hand, like spell type stuff. Not really spells, but like there's like this gesture like animation. It's not like melee or gun fighting. It's different. I heard though it's absolutely ridiculous for collectibles. Like you have to collect souls in the world and there's something like hundreds of thousands of them. So you, if you wanted to collect all of them, it would be like a full-time job. But apparently to get all the achievements, I don't think you have to collect every single one of them, but you have to get a lot. So it's almost worse than Crackdown. You remember Crackdown, all those stupid orbs?
Yes,
there are only a couple hundred of those. It's way more than that in Ghostwire Tokyo. And I only heard that colloquially from a podcast, so I don't know what the actual number is. But I'm going to check that out. It's already pre-installed on my machine, actually. Okay, number two. Square Enix shows off a trailer for Symbiogenesis, which is their NFT game. Non-fungible token.
Yes. If you're,
and not in the know.
Yes.
They say it'll have 10,000 unique NFT characters. I only put this in the show notes so that I could go on a rant to talk about how excited I am for this game to bomb. Because NFTs have already had their splash in the pan. This is so stupid.
You mean flash in the pan?
I don't know. What did I say?
You said splash in the pan.
Sure.
I mean, that
sure.
kind of makes sense too, I guess.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. You know how you throw oil on the pan when it's hot and it splashes and it gets, you know, a little sizzle or whatever. Yeah, this is gonna do so poorly. Like the fact that they're still like I would have can't like all the stuff Ubisoft canceled and here Square Enix is like, oh, we're still doing an NFT game. NFT games happened for like or even talking about it happened for a split second. And the blowback was so collectively like no from the gaming community that everyone backed away from it. Remember when Ubisoft was putting in all their games, like Breakpoint had the whatever, and they launched their whole platform for all the Ubisoft games? Where did that go, guys? When's the last time you heard anything about that? It's gone.
Well, it was in a bad game to begin with, but yes.
I haven't heard about NFTs in like months, like legitimately, like where people were like talking about them, like not like unironically.
Only time I've seen them in the news recently is when people got hacked and lost access to all their NFTs. I think a whole network got
imagine
hacked
spending,
too.
Having spent money on those dumb things.
I mean, people spend a lot of money on a lot of dumb things. This is up there.
I know, just the latest
really.
In a long line.
Anyway, so yeah, I think I offered free advice to Square Enix on Twitter, which was don't do this. This will not sell. I bet this sells less than 100,000 units. Yeah, I know. Maybe it's cheap. Maybe they're like, oh, we'll just do this easy game for like 50 grand, or not 50 grand, for like 20 or 30 million, which is cheap by their standards, probably. And we'll get in on the craze of NFTs with all the NFT fans.
10,000 characters.
That's not even, imagine if you had 1 million players and there's only 10,000 unique characters that are NFTs. So there's obviously more than one of each character. Because they're not going to be like, well, the first 10,000 people get a player game. Everybody else just gets generic NPCs that are all just clones of Barack Obama.
That's funny.
I hate this. I hate this game so much. Die, NFTs. Die.
Yeah. I have to imagine there was like a board meeting where they were like, all right, nobody likes NFTs right now, but we've already invested $5 million or $20 million into this game. So we have to launch it.
There's a business term for that. The sunk cost fallacy.
Right. But... still, this is the same company that sold
the damage.
Is this the same company that sold Tomb Raider for pennies for peanuts?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Okay. Well, moving on. Number three. This is your Activision Blizzard acquisition corner of the week. So Microsoft went on a deal signing spree. They signed 3 10-year deals. One with Ubitus, I don't know how you pronounce that, but they are a company that did some cloud streaming games for Switch. You know, some games can't fit on Switch, so they do a cloud streamed version that is native to Switch, native, and it launches through a launcher and then it streams from the cloud. So that company does that. So now Xbox and future Call of Duty games could be run on that service. They did a 10-year. Then the next one was Boosteroid, or Boosteroid. I'm not sure if that's a typo, which is a Ukrainian streaming service. Another 10-year deal. The third one, I somehow left off my notes, so I believe there's another one out there. And then they said more to come. So this is part of, we're coming to a head with some decisions being made about the acquisitions. They're doing all this stuff to show, you know, we're not going to keep Call of Duty. The other thing is the UK governing body released input they got from 6 developers on the acquisition. And 5 out of the 6 of them said, yeah, go forward with this. This is only good for the industry. The only one to say it was not good for
can
the industry.
Can you guess?
PlayStation. Of course it was PlayStation. Everyone knows who it was. It was Sony. Big and small devs all were like, this is
fine. Did we talk about how a couple of weeks ago Sony was like, oh, they could release Call of Duty in a buggy state on PlayStation if we allow them to be the owners of the IP?
I mean, they technically could, but it would be
stupid.
Yeah,
they could, but I get it. Like, as
their legal arguments are disingenuous.
As an attorney, you have to throw everything at the wall because some of it's going to stick theoretically. But it's so funny of like an argument to make. Like, I don't know. Like, I get it because they're tech companies. Like, that's an argument you need to make. But it seems like just children fighting. Like, oh, they could give it in a buggy state.
I'm going to read you guys a couple quotes from what the developers gave. And I'm pulling this from Video Game Chronicle because they pulled it. I'm not going to read all the legal documents. So that's the source on this, or at least who pulled it together. So during that period, which later several years, Microsoft has honored every element of the agreements that they inherited and also extended our relationship significantly to cover new formats like Nintendo Switch. So that's one developer. Another one said, we believe that consumers' tastes and preferences in video game space cut across the broad array of games at a wide variety of genres and platforms, basically saying that Call of Duty isn't the end-all be-all. Another one said, we do not believe any one title can be considered a must-have. There's more to that quote, but I'm not going to go on. Generally, it's just basically everybody being like, Call of Duty is not our industry. It's so funny because I don't even think if they pulled it, PlayStation would lose some revenue, certainly. But they're still the market leader, and there's still a lot in their favor. So I've swung completely around on this deal to where I feel like PlayStation is 100% arguing in bad faith and is not really saying what they mean. I mean, Microsoft isn't without fault in all cases, but I really just don't think there is an argument to be had here for this harming consumers. And they seem way more concerned with themselves than consumers. And this can only be blocked on behalf of consumers. They're not going to block it to protect a rivaling business. And PlayStation seems to be just making arguments to protect themselves, which is their job. So, like, I'm not mad. It's just, like, their stuff is so disingenuous. Gus, it looks like you have something to say. You're in the darkness, so it's hard to see you.
No, it's... I guess my whole point is, like, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And I guess it's, like... I was like, I don't know. It's like Microsoft just keeps pouring all this money down the drain in the name of transparency. So it's like, I don't know, like how, not that I'm saying they can't keep doing it because it's like, how can you look at this from anybody else's standpoint and be like, yeah, Microsoft is like giving up all these concessions. And like, I don't understand how you cannot see Sony like the Nazis of the video game world right now, because they're just being ridiculous and doing all this dumb stuff that is like, just doesn't make sense. It's like all, like you said, it's arguing in bad faith, and it just makes them look terrible. But the thing is, it's like no one actually really cares because, like you said, they're the market leader. They're going to keep selling consoles, but it's like, I feel like more people should look at this and be like, why would I want to give my money to Sony? But they won't. It's just more like, it's just Sony looks bad, but they're like, I like PlayStation, so I'm going to keep buying PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know. From the very beginning, I don't really have skin in the game, so I don't really care. If this didn't go through, I'm not going to be upset about it. It's more that it's just so annoying how it's going through. So we just had a technical issue that kicked us off for a second. So I don't even know what I was saying.
It's me, Tim. You can keep saying. You can say it was me.
Well, we think it's something wrong with the headphones Gus is using that are kicking us out of the recording. But you did just remind me of crap. Now I lost the train of thought again. You're killing me.
Talking about Sony.
No, I know. I was gonna do something different. There was something I wanted to spin off that I forgot happened this week that I wanted to talk about on the podcast. We were talking about memes. Oh, I remember what it is. Lance Reddick passing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about it for a minute because, man, such a talented man. He was in The Wire. He was in, obviously, John Wick, Destiny 2, Destiny 1, as Zavala. He is in Horizon, Forbidden West, Zero Dawn. Maybe he'll be in the DLC that's coming out soon. He's going to be in John Wick 4 next week. And he's been in a ton of other stuff, too. This is just all like really like pop culture nerdy stuff that I'm into. But also, I saw a lot of videos of him over the years talking to Destiny community members and people that were fans of Destiny and just being a genuinely funny and cool guy. And I felt pretty gutted to see he had passed. I didn't realize he was 60. He felt younger than that to me. I would have guessed maybe early 50s for some reason. Maybe it's just because he looks so timeless. He has such a clean look that the man just didn't seem to age. And man, I was gutted by that. I'm going to see John Wick 4 next week. John Wick's one of my favorite modern movie franchises, so I'm excited to have that as like a way to enjoy his presence on screen in a fresh way again. But I wanted to acknowledge it because he's in so many popular games and other things that kind of cross over with Xbox. And I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts or memories of Lance Reddick that you want to bring up?
No, I did enjoy him a lot as the hotel concierge.
Maitre d'.
Yeah. And John Wick.
Oh, he was also in Fringe. I forgot about Fringe. I loved Fringe. My favorite scene of him and John Wick is when John Wick comes in soaked in blood and he said, "Do you have laundry?" And Lance Reddick's character says back, which his character's name is, how do you say it? Charon, or the ferryman to the river of the damned, right? Yeah. He says, "Sure. No laundry is that good." And it's like, yeah, just so dry, but hilarious at the same time. He will be missed. So back to the news. Yeah, so this I'm more confident than ever that the Xbox deal is going to go through. What I was going to say before we got cut off by the technology was that Nintendo doesn't have Call of Duty, and they're technically the market leader in game consoles, although it seems like in the arguments with regulators, they've spun off and said premium game consoles is like a different product segment. But, I mean, there's PC gaming, mobile gaming, Nintendo, like less premium console gaming, and Call of Duty is not on what is the biggest platform, although not a lot of third parties are. So anyway, that's your Xbox Activision deal corner for the week. Moving on. Gus, your hand is still up on the software. I
hit that on accident.
That's okay. Okay, number four. Spencer, hopefully you have some insight on this because you're the one that sent it to me this week. The Redfall story trailer dropped. The biggest thing that you called out when you sent it to me was that we find out in the story trailer that the vampires are man-made in a lab, which I thought was interesting.
Science. I sent it to everybody, not just you, Tim. You're not special.
You're right. I'm not special.
Yeah. Except for to my kids. Oh, isn't that cute? Yeah, there's a random story trailer drop for Redfall this week. You know, this game looks better now. Looks better in this trailer.
The gameplay looks better than the story to me. The story is meh. It's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck on an island with vampire gods, in quotes, and you got to take them all out.
Different, like tiers all the way up to the ones in charge.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, this game looks kind of interesting. It's kind of getting a little more interesting to me as we get closer.
I mean, also, I don't know that it has a lot of big name competition when it's coming out. Like, what else are you going to be playing, you know?
I'm pretty excited for it too. It looked kind of interesting. It talks about like people disappearing at first and they didn't know what was happening. Because this, I don't know who the scientific entity is, but I think they're like looking for like, oh, is it a way to like immortality or something like that? Is that what they're trying to do?
I think you're right. Something like that.
Yeah. And these people are disappearing from the island until Gus forgot to mute himself.
He just played a video on his phone unmuted.
I did. Yeah. I was responding to Spencer, I sent him a thing of that it was like a collage of pictures, and it was the wrong picture that sent. It was supposed to be the one of LeBron James.
I see.
And that's when I was like, you said you're like, that's Duke. And I'm like, I was like confused because I was like, I don't know. I don't remember sending
Instagram
that.
Is annoying when you send like the fifth picture in a collage. It's like, oh, we'll just send you the first one because that's what you want, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But anyways,
nope, sends the first one.
Yeah, Redfall. This is a neat trailer. You should go check it out if you have any interest or you're skeptical at all about this game, because it did make me a little more interested. Kind of I feel like a non-traditional vampire plot. Like,
it's not like Dark
Resident
and Gothic
Evil Village. Yeah, in Resident Evil Village, like they're not created in a lab, so. Or like Castlevania, they're not created in a lab. So this is Dracula, obviously the progenitor of vampire stories, is not created in a lab. So this is kind of a unique take on that. So we'll see.
The only other comment I have about Redfall is I thought they were moving away from this, but I saw it at the end of the trailer, so I guess not. I really hate the tagline on the marketing for this game. I hate "Bite Back." Like, it sounds like such a like 2000s movie trailer. Like, in a world where you go up against vampires, you must bite back. I'm just like, okay,
yeah,
guys.
Like a Sam Raimi film.
Yeah, I just it has the stylized like red bloody vampire teeth, but it really just looks like those ones that you buy for 99 cents at the gas station counter that you put in around Halloween to look like a vampire. It looks like those with "bite back" over it. I don't know. It's a super little nitpick, but I don't know. I find marketing for games very interesting. Marketing for anything, really. Movie trailers, all kinds of stuff. Like, I saw Shazam Fury of the Gods today and stuff. It's always interesting to me in movies what's in the trailer that isn't in the movie. So, you know, more and more they don't want to spoil movies, so they use outtakes or alternate takes of stuff in the trailers to keep people from seeing it. There is that one lawsuit, Spencer, from a lawyer's perspective, of if something is in the trailer for something and it's not in the final product, was that misleading advertising? And there is a major court case going through the process now about that for a movie that had Ana de Armas, I think, was in the trailer, but she wasn't in the movie. And so someone is suing that saw that movie based on her presence and whether that was false advertising or some other wrongful act, which is very interesting because that would affect a lot of movie trailers. I'm trying to think if that's true in games too, though, right? Like No Man's Sky and a lot of other games, Cyberpunk said a lot of big things. Watch Dogs 1.
It might open a door. That's why it probably won't go anywhere, because the judges should be smart about it.
Open
more doors to more types of lawsuits, problems.
Or if the does go in the favor of the plaintiff to make it narrow enough that it doesn't open Pandora's box for all of entertainment. Because to take it even further, okay, those romance novels that have a artistic drawing of a bare-chested man on the cover, is that an accurate representation of what is described in the book? And if not, is that misleading? Because the cover of the book is an advertisement. I mean, you could really take it a lot of strange places. I just made that one up, but that's a real stretch. Number five, moving on. Gus, this is what I was alluding to when you were talking earlier. Far Cry 5 got a 60 FPS patch for its fifth anniversary.
I really enjoyed Far Cry 5.
You said Far Cry 6. So
yeah,
I did.
I think Far Cry 5 was the one I enjoyed it a lot. I didn't play the 4 cult. Or Primal, but I enjoyed 5 a lot.
Man, 5 might be one of my least favorites just because I don't enjoy the cult. But I really, 4 felt weird to me too. Primal's the only one I've never finished.
I
started
feel like
it.
5 just felt like a more natural progression from 3 than 4 or Primal ever did.
Yeah, I think I just didn't like the way that the story would take you out of the game while you're playing it, and the non-traditional, like, non-linear storytelling was kind of weird. But the gameplay elements were improved. But we don't need to talk about that. I guess I'm acknowledging that they, on the 5th anniversary of a game, are giving it a 60 FPS patch. Which, by the way, Spencer, after we talked about it either last week or the week before, I did a little test of Forza Horizon 5 in 60 FPS and 30 FPS mode, and I am now staying in 60 FPS mode. And I went back and watched the video for Digital Foundry that I told you I got my 30 FPS choice from. And their first video, they did not say that. It was a secondary follow-up video, and it was Richard Ledbetter, who is, I think, I don't know what his title is, but he's the main, he's the head honcho at Digital Foundry. He said he himself would be playing 30 FPS because he liked all the pretty goodies and he didn't feel like it was a sacrifice because of how locked it is at 30. But in a fast-paced game like racing and the input latency and just the fluidity of the movement, I now have seen the light and I'm playing in 60. I don't know how I got this far without it. Okay, finally, this one I'm really interested to get you guys' input on. I think I know what you're going to say. So Hyperkin, our favorite third-party accessory manufacturer, after bringing back the Duke and then bringing back the wireless headset from the 360 era, their next product in their retro line is going to be the resurgence of the Xbox 360 controller as a Series X controller with the share button, the impulse triggers, the back and menu buttons. And it will be available in 4 colors, black, white, pink, or red. I would likely get the black one, maybe the white one if I want to go super retro. It's coming June 6th. I believe pre-orders aren't opening up until May. The surprising part is, look, this is way cheaper than the Duke. It's only $49.99. Now, the Duke had a screen in it, so that probably drove up the price. The only downside is it's a cable. It's a wired controller just like the Duke was. It's not wireless. But it doesn't have the battery pack on the back. Now, there were wired 360 controllers that didn't have the battery pack, so it's very similar to that. And for $50, I'm kind of tempted.
It's so ugly. The Xbox 360 controller, I feel, looks so ugly to me compared to the Xbox Series or Xbox One controller, or even like the Xbox Series X controller. I don't know what it is. It just like has weird, it's so awkward looking in hindsight, like looking back at it compared to the current controller.
Yeah, I have a hard time going back to it sometimes because one, it feels way smaller. I mean, it is way smaller and the joysticks are way fatter. Like they're lower set and they have a different pull tension and they're fatter. But there's something just classic about the feel of a 360 controller. And especially since I play on controller on PC for some games, I feel like it'd be fine to have a wired controller for PC because I don't know that a wired one would reach my TV, but I'll wait and see how long the cable is. I do wish they offered a premium wireless option, but I get why that might be costly for a third party that does smaller volume niche accessories because, you know, they probably have to license the Xbox wireless technology and there's no Bluetooth, so...
I probably won't get one just because I don't need it and I don't want to have more things, you know, more controllers. I bet the cable's detachable for people that want to display it, you know, put it on something.
Yeah, that's weird. I wondered if that was an error. I found at least 2 articles that said the USB-C cable is detachable. Also, Spencer, it's hilarious that you say you don't want to get controllers to have to put them somewhere because how many 360 controllers do you currently own?
Everyone I've ever had, I think.
I know, but like you own what, 15, 20?
No, not that many.
Well, you have a whole shelf and a closet of them in boxes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the ones that are in boxes.
Yeah, all the ones you never opened collected.
I probably have 10 or 12.
I think you have more than that, but that's a lot. I probably, between all of my consoles, I probably have 20 or 30 controllers, but that's like I have every console going all the way back to PS2, and I have 2 controllers minimum for every console until PS5. That was my first console ever I've only had 1 controller for.
Yeah, you're probably right. I probably do have more than 12 because I have 3 or 4 in boxes. Oh, wow. I keep remembering more. Yeah. I have those 2 like Halo 3 art controllers that are in like terrible shape. Like the
those were actually used though.
Concept art controller, yeah, they were used.
I
got a couple white ones, black, green,
a bunch of the metallic ones,
C-3PO,
couple camo ones.
No, I actually don't. I think I had a camo one once, but I got rid of it. That's one of the ones that I did get rid of over the years because I think it stopped working
because of like faults in controllers. I burned through a lot of Xbox One controllers. My favorite probably is still the polar white one that had the gold triggers, but
Lunar.
Yeah, after a while,
yeah,
I stopped.
That's the one I still use with my my 1X.
I stopped using anything but the newer Series X controller just because I don't even remember why at this point. I think the headphone jack or there was something that was added on the newer ones that made it
the newer ones, the screenshot button still annoys me.
I don't hit it by mistake, but most of the time...
I hit it by mistake all the time. I know you guys have never had that problem, but for whatever reason...
I did it once.
I do.
My biggest issue is that I still have muscle memory. I hit the guide button and then I hit Y to take a screenshot. Even though that button exists, I don't use it. And I'll tell you what, so that button, where it is and its tactile placement, I absolutely hate the share button on PS4 and PS5. Because of the way their buttons are, like you can't just easily find your finger on it. Like it doesn't have a lot of tactile feel. It's got like a little dimple on it. I have complaints about every controller. Every current and previous controller, there's something about it I don't like. Even the current Series X controllers.
I don't have a single problem with, like, I use my 20th anniversary Series X controller 75% of the time, and then my Elite the other 25% of the time. And I definitely hit the share button or the screenshot button several times initially, and maybe occasionally every now and then I'll do it, but definitely not with any sort of consistency. I don't have a single problem other than like, and this isn't as big of a problem because I have like I have the Panasonic Inaloop rechargeable batteries now. But my only complaint with the Series X controllers is they just ate batteries. Like they just destroy AA batteries more
That's
than
weird.
Any other controller that I've ever had. Which,
oh, you
like
know
I said,
why
I
mine don't.
Rechargeable batteries now, so it's not as big of a deal.
Yeah, that's why mine don't eat through batteries. I have the Inaloop Pros, which have a much higher capacity than even regular AAs or the regular Inaloops. And so I probably change my batteries once a month, maybe less. Do you get a month out of yours? I mean, it depends on how much you play. But
yeah,
like,
probably. I don't know. I can't remember if I have the Pros. I think I have the Pros, but I don't remember.
Are they black or are they white or green?
They're black.
Yeah, the Pros are the black ones. So you probably have Inaloop Pros. Actually, you probably got a recommendation from me.
Probably.
When you bought them.
Well, so. Actually, I think my mom got me for Christmas a couple years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people like the built-in battery of the PlayStation, and some people like the interchangeable.
Oh, I would prefer. I mean, the Elite is the best. Being able to just put it on the stand and forget, and it charges, that's the best by far, for me at least, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the problem with internal batteries is look what's happening to all the PSPs. They're all exploding. And
yeah, well, those are
the battery life
like
degrades over time.
Years old.
Okay, but like battery life degrades over time. With replaceable batteries, you can buy Inaloops, and when the Inaloops die, you throw those out and buy new ones. The controller is so good.
The Elite Series 1, I never had a time where I was playing it and it died annoyingly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's going to be a time where I play 12 hours straight and the Elite Series 2 dies. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be on the charger every night.
Yeah. I mean, I practically have to charge my PlayStation 5 controller every time I use it because you could get two sittings out of it, but I'm definitely not getting three, which is insane. Its battery is notoriously small, but I probably also have some setting turned on that's killing it. Who knows? But I'm also terrified because I have had it die during a game and I only have one PlayStation 5 controller.
It's always the worst.
Yeah, well, some games pause, but other ones don't. Like Destiny is, you know, always.
Well, yeah, online games. So. Like it happened to be playing World of Warships in the last year or two. Controller dying.
Yeah. Well, that's the end. I'm going to cut it off before Gus's headphones decide to kill us again. I'm already going to have an editing nightmare to splice this all together to where you, the listener, aren't hearing random cuts all the time. Yeah. Any final thoughts, Gus?
No, I do remember when we were talking about like the Hyperkin, the like 360 earpiece.
Yeah, they took too long to make, so I didn't buy it. Those fools.
Spencer, do you remember what happened to my 360 earpiece?
No.
My how it was, it fell off of my ear into a glass of milk.
Oh, that's great.
I don't that remember
was,
that. That's
that was
funny.
What did it.
Also,
hey, I leaned over and my I have a small like bottom earlobe, and so things don't usually fit on my ears very well. So it like came off slightly and it just bunked right into a glass of milk.
My how times have changed too. Headset, we went man. From. We went from the Xbox where you had to buy a kit and get the headset separately, the 360 where it was included, Xbox One it was included. Imagine the Bluetooth 360 headset, how big that thing was compared to like Apple iPod or AirPods now. And there's rumors that PlayStation's getting ready to release their own inner ear earbud for gaming. And like headsets are just so different. And also consoles don't come with them anymore. It's just assumed that people have so many headsets or they're going to buy a third party one that nobody needs it anymore.
I don't know. I also like don't ever play multiplayer. The only time I ever play multiplayer stuff is with Gus playing World of Warships or something like that. I feel like back in the day we were always hopping in parties, and that's like you could all be playing different games, but you'd be in parties for a couple hours every night.
So I do miss that.
Yeah, that was like 360 and early Xbox One era for sure.
Sometimes I want to invite you guys to a party just to hang out while we play stuff, but I don't want to annoy you. And I never know if you're like, you know, sitting next
to
your wife having a conversation.
I have to go find my headset. I know it's all, both of them are in the console that my TV is sitting on, but I don't know. I'd have to find, I probably would pull out, well, depending if I was wearing my glasses or not, I'd probably just pull out the old cheapo $25 Xbox One mic instead of the Astros I have because they hurt my head. And then the ears too hot.
When the Xbox One headset came out with the console, I hated it, but actually over years it grew on me and it's still pretty
it's nice.
It delivers.
It's nice if you don't want to have noise canceling and it's just more comfortable to me. Like the Astros that I have just make my ears and head way too hot.
So I felt that way for the longest time and it at some point it clicked with me, Spencer, and I just stopped feeling that way. And it wasn't through repeated exposure. It was like I bought some Turtle Beach headphones and I used to put them on and I would get headaches. It would feel heavy. My ears would feel hot. And so I didn't use them for years. And then at some point when I got those Astros, it just clicked. And now I can go several hours wearing them and not even realize they're on my head. And those are a heavy headset. The big Astros that Gus and I have are way heavier than the, I think you have the A20 or the A10s.
A10. Yeah. Like the entry level one. That's what I have.
Yeah. And Gus and I have the A50s. Yeah. What gen? I have Gen 2 and you have Gen 3, or is it Gen 3, Gen 4?
I think so. I have Gen 3.
Yeah, so I have Gen 2, which I do have some complaints about that too. But honestly, I feel like not a lot of good headsets have come out in the last 5 years. Ever since Series X came out, I expected a bunch of new headsets to hit the market and it just never came. Like there are few that connect directly to the console without like hubs or USB connectors. But I tried one and I was like, it's fine. I really, Spencer, what I wish is that the 20th anniversary headset that matches the controller, I wish it was available in wireless. They only sell it in wired, which wouldn't be the end of the world now that you can just plug directly into the controller. But I do get up occasionally and set my controller down. And if my controller is plugged into my headphones, I always like rip it off the table and send my controller flying. And I hate that.
Yep. I hate to, reminds me, I'm on Hyperkin's website right now to see how much that thing even costs, but I can't find it. It must be under Xbox One.
The earpiece, you mean?
Yeah, the earpiece. But I'm still mad that they made the up. Oh, there it is. $39.99.
N-Ear 360 Flexo ear. Oh, that's an ad. I was like, what is this Hyperkin ad? No, it's somebody else. X88
wireless headset. $39.99. I mean, tempting. Very tempting.
It's only $40.
Yeah.
Comes with the price must have dropped too. Because originally I feel like it was like 80 or 90.
80, 90 seems like a lot. So does 80. Maybe I should get this thing.
I would love to hear a review of how that works in a modern like context.
I'm still mad that those like 40th anniversary Empire Strikes Back or like 40th anniversary Star Wars controllers were so expensive that they made in partnership with, was it
Razer?
Was it Razer? Maybe I don't know if it was Razer or if it was. That sounds right. It sounds like I think it was an R.
Yeah, it's Razer. Star Wars, yeah. Darth Vader, Xbox controller. And there's a whole series of them. Oh, yeah, here it is. 50th Lucasfilm. The Darth Vader one is sick.
The Boba Fett one's kind of cool, too.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, though, if they came out with something that was tied to an IP that I, like, really love. Like, I love Star Wars, but there's some, like, I don't know, Superman. I'm big on Superman this and Darth Kryptonian Vader mythology.
It has, like, the OG Star Wars kind of font, too. The recharging port or the recharging stand. So cool, man.
On the Razer website, something is in my cart. Oh, it's a laptop from when I was shopping for laptops. $1,800.
It's funny.
I didn't get this one because battery life wasn't great. And Razer's laptops are really thin, which means they get really hot. Delete that from my cart. I already purchased a laptop. Okay. Well, that is the end of the show. Spencer, I'm going to count that as your final thoughts since Gus took us down the HyperGun headset train of thought. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can follow me on Twitter, or I'm Tim Shelton, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
And I'm Gus Harden. If you have any questions for me, you can tweet at the show at Multiform Pod.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.